The gallery may be closed, but the Hayes Art Center is still buzzing with activity. Brenda Mader, director, stops by to talk about that and more on this episode of the Post Podcast. Skipped our last regular segment because, you know, it was right as the shutdown was starting. So I think everybody was kind of like, we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, the thing we wanted to talk about today is you're actually shifting some stuff online. You still got some stuff going on that we wanted to talk about down there, even though the gallery is closed right now, right?
Right. The Hayes Arts Center is closed for any outside, you know, activity of any kind. I still come in a lot of days of the week. Some days I'm working things from home. Some days I'm in here. But because there is no one else in here, it, you know, it keeps it a safe and comfortable working environment. So we're, like I said, still here taking care of business. There's been a lot of communication that we've needed to take care of due to projects that would be going on. You know, things like we should be having, you know, our spring art walk here the last weekend of April. And needless to say, that's not going to be happening. And one of the big, you know, sort of, you know, aspects of that that's so disappointing is the Smoky Hill exhibition is the state's oldest ongoing juried fine art competition. And this would be the 51st annual Smoky Hill. And it always opens as the anchor of, you know, the anchor exhibition, anchor event of the Spring Art Walk, always has. And obviously that can't happen. We did get the Smoky, people entered the Smoky. We had it juried. It's done by, through images that were sent to the judge. So the initial judging for that is always done off-site. We sent the entries out. And the judge did make the decision. It came together as an incredibly exciting Smoky Hill. It's just that we know it can't open as the anchor of a spring art walk. But we are keeping our fingers crossed that maybe, you know, things will return to a somewhat normal fashion by the time we get into summer. And the summer art walk is always the third Friday in June. So this year that'll be June 19th. So with that being way down the road, we're, you know, we're holding out hope that maybe we can have our summer art walk and maybe the Smoky Hill exhibition can be the anchor of that art walk. So we've been in contact with the artist, just telling them to hang on and not have any works come to us, you know, making sure that we've had contact with the other entities that normally would participate with the art walk. So, you know, everybody's obviously like we need to be, is good with everything, but we are still hoping that we can open that exhibition, albeit a little later, and hoping that we can get back to an art walk sometime in the middle of June if, you know, if situations and everyone's safety allows for that.
Yeah, and you know, I who knows? Because everything seems to be changing on a daily basis, but I'm hearing some real encouraging things that by that time, we should be able to at least be almost normal. Maybe not large gatherings, but at least opening up businesses again and some semblance of regularity.
Absolutely. And it, you know, everyone's safety is the first priority, of course. Mm-hmm. We'd sure like to showcase it, but like we said, everyone's safety is the priority. So we'll see. We, you know, like everything else that's going on and everyone else and all the other entities, individuals, organizations, you just, you know, you take it as it comes. But at least it gives us something to look forward to. And the promise of possibility is always nice. And, you know, of course, we were very disappointed as when you and I had a chance to chat here the other day a little bit with some of the things, you know, that we couldn't finish carrying out for the school programming. And of course, there's so many things, you know, I feel bad for the kids, you know, whether it's, the ceremonies involved in leaving elementary school in fifth grade or junior high in eighth grade, much less, you know, our poor high school students, seniors, you know, who just, you know, were getting deprived of so many of those really, really big moments. And the Hayes Arts Council actually had, you know, would have normally a couple of big things going on in the schools. The creative writing contest, the deadline for that came literally on the heels of everything being shut down. Mm-hmm. And because that project utilized a judging panel from Fort Hays State University's English department, well, everything there got closed down so fast. Everybody was working from home, you know, and getting the materials and the, you know, the, the distancing orders and everything, it just became impractical for us to be able to carry out the creative writing contest, project with any sort of kind of quality or merit. You know, the logistics were just too difficult. Mm-hmm. And the other project that would normally also be happening would be the Ellis County Finals of Famous Figures that we present every year, that wonderful living history project for fifth grade students across Ellis County. Well, obviously, we wouldn't be able to have a final countywide competition, and with no one in session having classroom or school competitions, it would be difficult at best. But the Hayes Arts Council did come up with an alternate way to still be able to celebrate the incredible talent and skills, and not to mention work that's already been put in by the kids that love famous figures. A lot of teachers really are all over this project the entire spring semester as one of the points of their curriculum, because it involves, research and writing and editing, organizing your material, memorization, public speaking and performance skills, confidence building, not to mention, exploring the individuals, past or present, that you admire, that you look up to, that you think have characteristics and traits worth celebrating and emulating. So it really covers a lot of material, and we've decided that we would like to still showcase the work by those students, just not in a competitive format. The Hayes Rotary Club is always our annual sponsor for this project, and the Heartland Community Foundation assists with overall spring youth arts education programming. And because of that, we do have the funds to still provide the engraved gold medals that normally go to the county finalists that appear on stage at Beach Schmidt. And though there won't be a competition, we want the students who have the courage and the confidence to put their performances out there for us to share, to receive one of those. So we're going to try to reward, some incredible talent as these students do wrap up their fifth grade year and leave elementary school. So what we are doing is any student in the fifth grade, and that's public, private, or homeschooled, because we're not doing it as a classroom competition. We're also inviting any homeschooled fifth graders who'd like to participate to be able to do so. So following the general guidelines of the project, which is to assemble a monologue that those fifth graders present as that character, so those characters giving a little review, overview, highlights of their life, and that runs anywhere from about 2 to 3 minutes. That's how it's always been. There just won't be the judges' questions after and a competition on stage. But the students will be able to send to us the videos of their performances, doing as many takes as they like, but send us a video, and knowing that then the Hayes Arts Council has the right to share that video. We want to just celebrate them. And so we'll be sharing that through our Facebook page and our website. And then we'll also see that every one of those students gets one of those engraved gold medals. And if anybody's looking for the information on that, you can check out our Facebook page and you can go to our website. The information posted on the website is, the information, the guidelines that would have applied to this being a regular competitive year. But the basic structure of it is, is still the same, that 2 to 3 minute, performance, if you will. And we're going to have a deadline of May the 6th, Wednesday, May 6th. That'll give us time to get those medals ordered and engraved before the official end of the school year. And then shortly after that May 6th deadline, hopefully by that weekend, we will begin airing these famous figure performances by Ellis County fifth graders. So it's a really neat way to wrap up the year. And it's so informative and entertaining to watch what these talented students do that I'm actually really excited to be able to see them. It's one of my very favorite projects we do during the course of the year. So I'm really glad there was an alternate way for them to allow this to kind of come full circle, even if under different circumstances.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I'm wondering, so are all of them going to be online, or is it just going to be like the winners?
Nope, because there's no competition. And in the classrooms, okay. They never even got that far. They never even reached the competition part of their classroom. That would have probably happened right after spring break, although a lot of these students have been working on it literally for months. You know, maybe first the research and then their writing skills and organizing and critiquing and editing and working on time, you know, a lot of things. And so the real elements of the school, classroom and school competitions would have only taken place early this month because the deadline for everyone to get their characters to me, the classrooms, the results of their, you know, two persons per fifth grade classroom competitions only would be happening at nearly the end of April. In fact, I think it was like literally the day or two before our art walk, like April 24th or something, 3rd or 4th, is only when they needed to send me the results of their classroom competitions. Well, we're not doing a classroom competition, and so we're just extending that deadline to get me the videos. So who knows? We might only have a couple dozen students willing to share their videos of their performances, or we might have several dozen, and we want to share all of them. If the students are putting themselves out there because they have a confidence in what they've done, I know that everyone will truly appreciate seeing those performances. And like I said, there's always some very informative elements of it, so it's highly educational, and it's wonderfully entertaining. And every student that does submit their video for us to share will get one of those engraved gold medals, even though ordinarily we only do about, usually there's about 34 county finalists. Even if that number is doubled, we are still going to see that every one of those students receives a medal for their contribution to this year's modified project.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. And I would think all the kiddos are probably itching for something to do. So I think you probably are going to get a lot back.
Oh, I hope so, because they're fabulous. And it only, you know, two and a half minutes long. It's not like people who want to see these are going to be, having to pour through hours and hours and hours of performances. They're only going to average about, you know, two and a half minutes, the entire performance. And in fact, they're always over before you wish they were. Sometimes you just wish that student, you know, even had even more time to share, because some of these kids are amazing performers. They really, really are. And they, you know, the characters that we see portrayed in this are so fascinating. Sometimes they respond to characters, say, from early American history, like whether it's a George Washington or a Thomas Jefferson or a Betsy Ross. Sometimes it's from the sports arena, like the contemporary sports arena, people who are still living, like last year, I know we had a Peyton Manning. But we also had a Jackie Robinson. You know, I know there was a time when we'd see a lot of George Brett's come through. And we also seen Mia Hamm and some of our famous Olympic gymnasts. Sometimes it is celebrities from the area of entertainment, whether that's acting or singing, you know, musicians, whatever it might be, that maybe have special foundations. And they're sharing a lot of their success with the world and doing good and espousing role model virtues. You know, we might see that. Sometimes we see political figures. We've had lots of presidents and first ladies. We've had people from civil rights, like, say, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy. You name it, we have seen those characters come through, famous figures at one time or the other. And it's really, really cool to see what the kids come up with. And there's no holds barred, as long as it's someone living or deceased, not fictional, with who the students can look up to and admire, you know, their life and something along the way that they've done or accomplished.
Well, I love that. I'm excited to see that as it comes out, because that sounds cool. And I've been to these things, and I'm sorry to say I've never been to the one here in Hayes, but I've been to one similar kind of, because this is a bigger program. I know they do them at least throughout the state, right?
I don't really know. Famous Figures was something that was begun, in fact, Joyce Yolk, when she was still a classroom teacher, or she was in charge of the gifted program locally, she oversaw some of those special education programs, and this was something she instituted, and then she left that, and it went dormant for a while, but I had served as one of the judges sometimes when it was held, so people were getting back with me here at the Arts Council, and saying, hey, why aren't we doing this? Well, it was never our project at that time. But in the spring of 1997, that's how long we've been doing it. In the spring of 97, we modified things, tightened up some of the guidelines, worked harder to get it into all the schools, because it took a few years before all the schools recognized, hey, our kids want to be part of this. But we have been doing this every spring since 1997. And so it's been going on a long time. It's not part of some bigger program. It was just something we instituted. And living history programs aren't unusual. Kids often, you know, give a speech on a character or something. But to sort of take it to the lengths that we've done, turn it into a, you know, a really large program like that, I think is, you know, kind of cool and unique outside of it, you know, being just something that's going on in classrooms or a individual school program. It's really become something much larger than that.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, it is cool.
Well, I want to get on to this next thing. We're going to run out of time here. This is something I'm super excited about. We talked a little bit about this the other day. The documentary from the 70s from France, you've got a kind of cool program you're working on with that to get that shown. You want to just share what you've got, the details now?
Yes. Thank you, James. I am really excited. What people probably remember in the fall of 17, celebrating the 150th anniversary of Ellis County and the 50th anniversary of the Hayes Arts Council. The Hayes Arts Council acquired the licensing rights from Radio Television Swiss to air the documentary A Quiet America. People may kind of remember that when we did that. Again, that was, like I said, in the fall of 17. A Quiet America, like you said, was a 1976 documentary that highlighted small town America. This Radio Television Swiss company came to America with a film crew looking for a place, small town American life, to celebrate, highlight, and show the contrast of the larger cities at the 200th anniversary of this country, the bicentennial year. 1976 was a really big deal year, and there was a lot of tension. You know, America is basically this younger country, and how it's different now, and highlights and things. And other countries around the world did have an interest and a fascination for America, how it was different or similar to their countries. And this Swiss television company wanted to explore small town America. So they came to the States with their 4 or 5 person film crew and scouted out locations. And there was a number of locations. They didn't have any kind of advanced connection to Hayes, Kansas. It was just sort of one of the places that came up on their radar. And when they got here, the doors to the community were open. The then head of the Chamber of Commerce said, hey, I can introduce you to everybody you need to talk to. We're proud of this community, who and what we are. But again, this was in 1976. So they wanted to visit with people that were involved in, whether it was, the media or the or agriculture, what made the community tick financially, or the, churches and religion, different aspects of business, media things, television, radio, downtown businesses, things like spending time visiting with Scotty Phillip at the Phillip Hardware Store, or with Harold Krause, a farmer in this area, or people at the radio and television stations, law enforcement, a lot of time spent with law enforcement, even visits inside the Ellis County Jail in 1976, going into church services. It was really awesome. And it's an 83-minute long program that they ended up with. And again, they called it A Quiet America. And the version they showed over there had all the French voiceover, so you really didn't get to hear the interviews, the voices of the people from our community. Well, they still had a raw copy, one that didn't have the voiceover on it, and that's the one we showed that night. We also got the rights from them to do DVDs, and we sold quite a few of them, and then everything's been quiet for a number of years. Well, after the Dragging Main event, the other night, I was reminded of that nostalgia and how much everybody enjoyed that. And also, the Dragging Main scenes were a prominent feature of the film at that time as well. They went to a German wedding, here in our community. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great to share that with people if we had the ability, just to remind everybody of a simpler time, give us something to distract us while, you know, we're dealing with this very strange and unusual world situation that's affecting us out here in quiet America, as well as the cities. And so I got back in contact with the folks at Radio Television Swiss, and they have granted us the rights to stream the video from our website. And even better than that, since a lot of people, especially some of our older citizens, don't have access to the devices, much less the technical capabilities to stream the video, the film, I should say, we are also working with Fort Hays State University television station, the Tiger Media television station, which has access through both of the two cable companies that serve our community, Nextech and Eagle. And so right now we are working on, we don't have them set yet, but we are working on setting a television broadcast time so that it's truly accessible to everyone, especially some of our older citizens who may not have gotten to see it when we aired it. And so we're not streaming it yet, and we don't have the broadcast time set yet, but we will be. And if people stay in touch with us or just keep watching our Facebook page, people like you and I, James, will continue to visit to make sure everyone knows. But we are going to share that video freely with no charge, just for people to enjoy and be distracted and have a reason to smile for a little while.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm so excited to actually see the whole thing. I've seen clips, and I think it was at the 2017 time when you guys were probably bringing this to people's attention. I saw chunks of it, and I was in Oklahoma at the time, and I was so excited. But now the whole thing, it's going to be so cool.
Yeah, and it's 83 minutes long, and what's really cool is we'll also be airing that just as we did that night in October of 2017 with a 30-minute piece of film that was a reflection of Hays in 2015 compared with that 76. One of the people involved in the original production company, his name is Mark Schindler. He's retired now. He lives in France. It was a French film crew from that aspect of Switzerland. It was a French film crew. And Mark Schindler was one of the people involved, and he absolutely loved Hays. He loved his time here. He loved some of the people that he met and actually sort of stayed in contact with some of them. And so he came back to Hays in 2015, in August of 2015, and he filmed another documentary called Back to Hays, kind of comparing and contrasting the people, the situations, and the community that he, quite frankly, really kind of fell in love with. He liked Hays. And so in that one, you get that back and forth view, and it's really fascinating. And in that one, the clips that he uses from the original film do have the French voiceover, so you kind of get a sense of what that was like. But of course, his interviews here in Hays with people that he that were part of that in 1976, but now it's 2015. Of course, there's no voiceovers or anything. It's all in English, and just absolutely wonderful. So that's a really cool element, and that will be part of this broadcast as well.
Wow. Oh, I love that. Yeah. And, you know, especially for people like me that are kind of transplants to Hays, seeing that history is super cool because, you know, I don't know anything from Hays when I moved here, 02. So even to see that compare and contrast, and I'm so excited. This is an awesome project, and I'm going to thank you in advance for doing this.
Right now, what we're doing is the target, we don't have the exact time and date set, but because we're not going to have all the community connection and the joy and excitement that happens every year on the Spring Art Walk, bringing so many different, cross sections of our community together, that's what we're targeting as both the television broadcast time for it, as well as the kickoff time for the streaming capabilities. So again, it's a little bit down the road here yet, but not too far. So we're getting things in order on it, but that's what we're targeting, kind of to take the place of that event that means so much to so many in our community.
Oh, for sure. And I could see people doing like watch parties on Facebook, you can stream things together, even maybe doing it on Zoom and watching it together. I know that's one of the things I'm doing with family members right now. We're clicking on TV from distance and we're watching the same show just online.
Absolutely. I know. And I know that there is something. We're so fortunate that we are in a time when the technological capabilities we have allow us to be so much more connected to each other's lives than we would be in light of this circumstance. So, you know, it's not good, but it could be so much worse. Were this to have happened at a slightly different time. So, as long as we just all kind of find as much of the good stuff, celebrate it and enjoy it as we can. Hopefully when we come out of the other side of all this, we will be reminded and ready to have the kind of communities and lives that we did before. You know, and really be grateful for that which we're not getting right now. You know, that connection and that opportunity to be part of a larger community in an engaged way. You know, there's a lot of times we take things for granted because it's just there and easy and accessible. And if anything comes out of this, maybe that will be a little bit of a growth we'll have had as citizens and as a community.
Absolutely. Well, Brenda, we are, as a matter of fact, way over time. Anything else you want to squeak in real quick before we go?
No, there isn't, James. I thank you for the time, and people are welcome to give us a call. I do take care of the phone messages, check in on them. You can email us if you've got any questions on things, but we'll make sure and keep everybody apprised of the details of the airing of the video, and also I will definitely make sure everyone knows when Famous Figures is ready to be shared and enjoyed by everyone out there.